Good morning, church. We're finishing up this little series on the birth of Christ. We talked about its prophecy and the prophecies that were fulfilled in the birth of Christ. Though we only covered six, there were over 100 prophecies concerning Christ in his first coming that he fulfilled, 200 yet to be fulfilled in his second coming. And so we talked about prophecy, the birth of Christ and its prophecy. Then last Sunday, we talked about the birth of Christ and its story, both from the viewpoint of Mary's position and from Joseph's position, the first chapter of Luke and the first chapter of Matthew. And today, we're going to talk about the birth of Christ and its impact. What impact did it have? Because this sermon covers a broad spectrum of things, it's going to be more of a topical message than an expositional message. I don't often preach topical messages, but this is one of those rare times when you have to really cover a topic. You have to look at more than one passage of Scripture to make sure that you cover this properly. So we're going to talk this morning about the birth of Christ and its impact. John 1:14 says this, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Two things important there. First of all, he was very human. He came in a human body. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt is the word we would get our word tent from. He tented. He was not planning here on his first coming to be here forever. He just tented here. And he tented in a body. Then it says, "We beheld his glory." We saw God in Christ in all his glory. So he was both God and man. This person literally came to earth. Amen? Amen. He lived here on earth for about 33 or 34 years. He taught here. He walked here. He made friendships here. He did miracles here. He even raised the dead here. Then he died here. Then he rose again here. Then he went to heaven from here. And someday he's coming back to here, all God's people said. And so here we have the story of Christ. And we want to talk to you from the vantage point of the impact that he has made down through the ages. How did the birth of Christ, here's the question, how did the birth of Christ impact the world? I ask this knowing that there would have been no life of Christ, no sacrificial death of Christ, no resurrection of Christ from the dead, had he never been born. So the birth of Christ is absolutely distinguished as one of the most important doctrines in all of the Bible. Had he never been born, we wouldn't be here doing this. There would be no religion of the proper sort. There would be no faith in the person of Christ if he had not come. So how did the birth of Christ impact the world? How did that happen? Did it in fact happen? And so we're going to look at several things this morning that will help us see the impact on the world by the birth of Christ, him coming into the world, living here, dying here, and coming back someday to here. Number one, the birth of Christ impacted the individual in the world. It impacted the individual. Jesus came on a mission to transform the world by changing individual lives. Let me say that again. Jesus came on a mission to transform the world by changing lives. Men try to pass laws that would hopefully change the nature of man. They blame man's reaction or how he lives his life, whether good or bad, basically on how he's raised, where he's raised, what his values happen to be. The fact of the matter is, no one can be changed from what they are to what they need to be apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus was sent on a mission to transform the world by changing lives, and he wanted to change them not corporately, but individually. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." He came to seek and to save the individual. He came to give individuals a life of joy and contentment they had never had before. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." John chapter 10. Jesus came to give us a new family built on love. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that ye should love one another. As I have loved you, so continue in my love." He came to change the viewpoint of man toward his neighbor, toward his family, toward his brother or sister, toward his church, by giving them the heart of love. Jesus impacted the individual life and has been impacting individual lives for 2,000 years. You think of missionaries around the world, the impact they're having as we speak this morning. Thousands are coming to Christ through missionary effort every single week of every month of every year. They are being transformed by the power of Christ. When Christ came into the world, people thought little of him. He was dismissed as a false prophet. He was called a liar and a thief. He was called a winebibber, a drunkard. And was here only 33 years and died. And yet his impact has been felt around the world for 2,000 years in the lives of individuals who have come to know him as their personal savior. Jesus impacted the world by impacting the lives of individual people one at a time. Secondly, the birth of Christ impacted religion. Religion's a funny thing, isn't it? Religion is man's attempt to get to God. Christianity is God's desire to bring man to himself. There's a difference. Judaism, during the time of Christ, had become a religion of traditions, a religion of commandments of men, a religion of form, of works, of legalism, of acts that condemn those who tried to practice it, and brought an arrogance and condemning spirit to those who led and taught it. Judaism had become full of tradition. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for tradition teaching, or teaching tradition as though it was from God when it was not from God. Amen? Amen. Jesus changed all that. The religion of the Gentile nations was idolatry, a polytheistic practice with idols, too many to count, coupled with immoral practices and demonic worship. They were the worst of the worst religiously. And none of these religions changed any lives. Neither of these types of worship helped man become better. None of these things made men like Christ. And when Jesus came into the world, he stood in a juxtaposition against Judaism and polytheism, between the religion of the Jews and the religion of the world. He was a lone voice crying out. How on earth, you answer me this question, how on earth could one man, one solitary man, impact the world of religion the way he has impacted the world of religion? It's an impossibility according to our society. Listen to this. Within 300 years of the birth of Christ, within 300 years of the birth of Christ, the primary religion of the known world was Christianity. How do you account for that? Judaism was not the triumphant religion. Paganism was not the triumphant religion. The triumphant religion was Christianity. Paul went to Rome, was imprisoned there, probably died there. And Paul carried the message of the gospel. Others had gone before and also preached the gospel. By the time 300 years had lapsed, they tell me that close to 65 or 70% of everybody living in Rome were Christians. He impacted the religious world. And he did it through the work of the apostles. He did it through the establishment of churches and the grace that they preached, that freed men from the law and changed the polytheism back to a worship of one God, even our Father. Paul talked about how people got to a polytheistic position in Romans 1, and Christ brought them back from that to a theistic position where they worshiped one God, the person of God, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It impacted the individual. It impacted religion. It impacted morality. Listen to this statement. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount established a new paradigm in ethics and morality. In fact, in just 3 years of teaching and public ministry, Jesus changed man's view of morality forever. How many have read the Beatitudes? Matthew chapter 5. He wrote the Beatitudes that really are truths of heart. Mercy. The mournful. The peacemakers. The righteous. Those who stand for something. He taught about the difference between salt and light and how in our lives we are to use those two kinds of implications to change lives. He taught on the wrongness of murder and the heartache of anger. He taught about forgiveness. He taught about loving one's enemy, about giving and about prayer and about being unjudgmental in our, as we view others in our or toward our lives. His was a morality of God. His was a morality of rightness. His was a morality not of law, but of grace. And Jesus impacted the known world and the world to come. Now for over 2,000 years, every law in the United States that has been established as a bona fide law has been based upon the Judeo-Christian ethic. It's an incredible impact. The Western world, Judeo-Christian ethic. Jesus Christ impacted the morality of the world by his coming. Then the birth of Christ impacted society in general, and specifically. You know, there's an argument that goes on in politics. There are two sides. The argument is, are babies people or are they not? Are babies in the womb individuals or are they not? Are babies in the womb living from the time of conception? And so many have opted for the other out, abortion, a woman's right to do with her body as she wishes. Well, I'm for that, a woman's right to do with her body as she wishes. But the baby is not her body. A baby is an innocent. Do you realize the impact of just the birth of Christ on that teaching, abortion, on that teaching alone? Abortion, by the way, was rampant during Jesus' time. Prior to that, it was rampant. After that, it was rampant for years. If someone was going to give birth and they didn't want it, they killed the baby in the womb. There was no law against it. They simply just took the life of the baby. Jesus came, born of a woman, 9-month pregnancy, lived a life of incredible impact, a declaration that abortion is absolutely wrong. Do you realize that? What if they would have taken his life? What if Joseph would have decided in putting her away that he also would take the baby? That was an option. But Jesus was not taken. Jesus lived in the womb for 9 months and lived out of the womb for 33 years. Period. And as he walked on this earth, he was a dynamic presentation of what's right about the life of a child. Amen. He was a walking declaration of how wrong abortion is. Jesus taught the sanctity of life and the right of the unborn by coming into the world through birth. Jesus changed the dynamic from a view of abortion to a view of the life of an infant. But not only did he impact society by way of abortion, but he impacted society by way of children. During the latter parts of Christ's life, on into just some years later, but always much of before his life, society had a very terrible viewpoint of children. Males were important. Women or baby girls were not. But sometimes even baby boys were not. If after they had gave birth to a child, the man of the house thought it was just wasteful to spend any money or take any time with that child, they would often take children out into a wooded area, out away from people, out into a place where there were wild animals. And they would leave them there at 2 and 3 and 4 years old to fend for themselves. And often they were killed by wild animals and eaten there. They had no love for children, no respect for children, no concern for children. And women, as baby girls, they were put to death almost instantly if they were not wanted because they had no value. They were simply property. You study that history about the morality concerning children, you will be shocked what you will find. Jesus was walking through the streets one day. His disciples were following him. And he sat down, and some little children came running to him. And they said, "Don't bother the master." And Jesus said, "Quit that. Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for they are the kingdom of heaven." He said, except you, your heart becomes like the heart of a little child, you'll never get to heaven. He said, in fact, if you offend one of these little ones, it was better that a stone were hanged around your neck, a millstone. Millstones weigh somewhere in the nature of 1,200 to 2,000 pounds. That a millstone were hung around your neck, you'd be dropped in the deepest sea. Jesus had a love for children. He treated them gently. He treated them with love and compassion and concern. And in doing so, was stating categorically as the God-man that children were of the greatest value. Even today, if you go to Romania, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of street children that now live down under the gutters. Thousands of them. We have friends who are there who run an orphanage, and they say we simply cannot keep up with it. They discard them. Parents put them on the street. Sometimes just leave them out on the sidewalk. Newborn. It's a terrible plight. It's a terrible thing. Jesus raised the value of the unborn and raised the value of children. He impacted society. He impacted society with reference to women, and listen to this carefully. The women's movement today has it all wrong. They think the Bible teaches a kind of slave-master relationship for a wife, when the Bible teaches nothing whatsoever like that. In fact, Jesus' teaching on women elevated them to a high, high place. Jesus saw women as important to his ministry. And so he gathered around him several ordinary women who had an extraordinary impact on the ministry of Christ and the service of the apostles. In Galatians 3:28, Paul tells us that there is in Christ neither male nor female. In Judaism, women could not speak in public, could not worship in the synagogue without men there. You remember in the book of Acts, Paul came into the synagogue in one city, and he found nobody there on Saturday. And so he was wandering through the city and ended up down by the riverfront, and he found several women worshiping there. Why weren't they in the synagogue? They could not go there without a man. And so they worshiped God in secret. They could not even do it in the place that God had designed for them to do it in. The temple was not their place. They could not go there. And Paul tells us there's neither male nor female. Christ brought into view the equality of women to the world. In the Gentile world, women were no more than property. Cicero, a poet and historical writer of Rome, said that in the Roman society and the Greek society, women were no better than dogs and cattle. That was all the value that was placed on them. They were to be used and discarded at the whim of men. Jesus said, in Christ, there is neither male nor female. Do you understand the impact of that statement? He was saying there is an equality between the two. One is not better than the other. One is not more valuable than the other. One is not on a higher plane than the other. They are equal in God's eyes. They are the same. God viewed women from a viewpoint of value. Paul told men to love their wives like Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? He goes on to say he gave his life for the church. He tells us that men are to love their wives even as their own selves. Men are basically selfish. We like ourselves. When you're not around, we're the ones that flex in the mirror. At least, if you can flex. We're the ones that like to drive the fancy car. But God said, no. You're to love your wife as your own flesh. You're to love your wife the way Christ did. He gave his life for his bride, for the church. Where on earth do we ever get the idea that it's a me, Tarzan, Eugene world? Where do we ever get the idea that it's okay to mistreat our wives? Or women in general? We're to honor them. We're to elevate them. We're to lift them up. We're to count them as having great value. Then in society, Jesus impacted the society racially. I am have been for years fed up to hear of how some of the churches treat people of other ethnic or racial backgrounds. In that same verse in Galatians 3:8, Jesus said, there is neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. How many know what the word bond there means? A slave. A free person would be the one that owned the slave. He says neither Jew nor Greek. Not the Jewish nation racially, and not the Greek people racially. There's no races in this. There are none. Paul wrote in Acts 17:26, and listen very carefully to this, that God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth. Do I have to explain that to y'all, or how many understand what that means? What does that mean? It means it doesn't matter where you're born in the world, what your background is in the world, the blood coursing in your veins is exactly the same blood as coursing in my veins. And do you know, as late as the 40s, it was still against the law in some places for a black person to give his blood to a white person or vice versa, because they thought that they might taint their blood. And all they had to do is read this one little scripture to dispel their foolish application of the Word of God. I could say so much on this subject that we could be here for another 3 hours, but I won't. You remember the book of Philemon? I remember that book. There's a man in that book that's talked about. His name is Onesimus. I want you to just go with me over to the book of Philemon. Philemon, verses 13 through 16. Paul is writing a letter to Philemon, a slave owner, who happened to know Paul, and Paul knew him. In fact, Paul helped him immensely. And he says in verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Here's what happened. Paul was in Rome. Onesimus one night took off. He escaped his slave position and went to Rome to see Paul, who he had met. Whether he got saved there or he was saved before is immaterial. The fact of the matter is, he came to Christ. And so what Paul did is he said, I'm not sending you back there because you would be in peril for your life, because an escaped slave would be put to death. That's not what Paul did. Paul sent him back. That's right. No, listen to what Paul said. Here's the orders from Paul to Philemon, who owed him big time. You read this whole passage. He says, I sent him unto you, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. I wanted to keep him here. He was so valuable. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that the benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. It has to come from your heart. He says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. I like that phrase, departed for a season. He took off. He broke the law of slavery. And he says, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant. You know, have no right to treat him as a slave any longer, but above a servant, a much higher mark, a brother beloved, one you love, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. That phrase is such an important phrase here. Both in the flesh means, literally has a connotation that, the things that he used to do, his work. You receive him now not as a servant in his work, not as a slave in his work, but as a brother beloved in his work, all God's people said. Amen. That's how you're to receive him. Then he goes on to say, and in the Lord, both physically and spiritually. He is now your brother in Christ. He is beloved to you. He's not valued now for the work you can get out of him. He's valued for the person he is in Christ and who you are in Christ. You are a brother to him in Christ, and he a brother to you. In the early church, when a free man came to church, and then somehow a bond servant came to church, the free man was to sit on the floor and give his seat to the bond man, and even to wash his feet for having traveled. Why was that important? To show that there was no difference between them. In Christ, there is neither bond nor free, all God's people said. Amen. When Christ came, he impacted the world. All of it for good, all of it for right. He impacted the individual. He impacted morality. He impacted religion. He impacted society. And has changed the viewpoint of man around the world so that it's better now than it has ever been for people of all races, for women, for men, for babies, for the unborn, all God's people said. Amen. We forget how important the birth of Christ is and what an impact it has made on our society. And folks, may we never forget that we're to love the same way that Jesus loved. We're to love everyone as though they were our neighbor and treat them with the dignity they deserve, no matter who they are. All God's people said. Amen. Lord, help us to be thankful for the impact Christ had. What an impact. And Lord, may we love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.